Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Bob Winsell, Deputy Commissioner of Operations for the IRS. Joining me is Jim Cook, also with PricewaterhouseCoopers. Jim?
Thank you, Paul. Bob, in the last segment, you talked a little bit about some of the things that you're doing, in particular with the employees and involving the employees in the modernization effort. I'd like to talk a little bit about managing that effort itself. Some have characterized the IRS's modernization effort as changing the IRS's focus from assistance of taxpayers rather than managing compliance. And we've all heard over the last, in particular, the last 6 to 8 months about managing the balance between those two. I'd like to get you to talk a little bit about how you manage and maintain this balance and how you manage, in particular, the expectations of your employees, the taxpayers, and Congress on this critical issue.
Well, Jim, that's certainly a fair question, and let me respond to it this way, because I really don't anticipate that this is, although it, you know, it's been identified as a concern right now, but or that it will continue to be a problem, because we're really addressing this day in and day out. Certainly, we've changed our focus, absolutely, to be sure. We have revamped our mission statement, and we've developed newly defined goals. But because we've moved to do a better job to meet the needs of taxpayers, it does not follow that we no longer require taxpayers to meet their legal obligations. That's never been the intent here. It is the role of taxpayers to understand and meet their tax obligations, and most do so. Very high percentage of folks do so with even a single intervention on the part of anyone with the Internal Revenue Service. We want to do a better job at helping that overwhelming majority of taxpayers to comply, but we have not in any way lessened our commitment to taxpayers to comply. Let me underscore that. We haven't lessened our commitment to taxpayers to comply. And it's important that small minority who are not willing to comply are not permitted to get away with not complying. It's one of our principal roles to make sure that we don't put additional burden on compliant taxpayers. People expect that of us, and we remain committed to doing just that. Certainly, over the past year, there was some confusion and misinterpretation by employees and managers about the meaning of some of the aspects of the new law, this Restructuring Reform Act of 1998. You may have heard, for example, particularly about Section 1203, which our employees have referred to as the 10 deadly sins. And what that basically is that if there's one of these, if somebody violated this one section of the act itself, it could result in removal. And then we also had a section 1204, which addresses the use of statistics inside IRS. But we've really worked hard on trying to alleviate the concerns of our employees. And we've done this right from the commissioner all the way down, the top leadership in our organization, by educating our employees and clearly elucidating, if you will, that our position in every way that you can possibly think of. We've reinforced our position to employees that enforcement activity is a very vital component of our strategy for achieving overall compliance. But it's not only the only component, and enforcement revenue is not a good measure of success in achieving our goal of service to all taxpayers.
The IRS modernization is a tremendous undertaking, and you have to align the organization, the processes, and the technology. And I think that would be difficult under any circumstances, but yet you have to continue the current operation. So can you talk to us about this change in general and how it takes place when the IRS can't disrupt the filing system, filing season?
Well, you know, we've talked about already about how important it is to communicate effectively with our employees. But what we've also tried to do is make sure that we've made extensive efforts to communicate information on an ongoing basis with our stakeholders, such as various practitioner and liaison groups, other government agencies, as I mentioned, such as the Small Business Administration and Social Security Administration, and many large and small taxpayer groups. A good example is what we've done in January, when all of these external stakeholder groups came together here in Washington, D.C., and we held a nationwide press conference, if you will, that was broadcast throughout the whole country. And we called it our Modernization Conference, and it was entitled The New IRS Stands Up. And this provided an opportunity for many taxpayer and tax practitioner groups to get a glimpse of our new organization and hear firsthand what was happening within the Internal Revenue Service. It's so important for us as an agency and at what our mission is that we have open and frequent communication. And that has been a key to much of our success thus far, if you will, as to our ability to achieve employee and customer buy-in to our many changes that are underway in our organization. We really recognized in the earliest planning stages of the modernization that internal communication was important, but that it was necessary to manage communication and decision-making operations in order to keep our top management out of the endless and repetitive meetings. When you talk about managing change, we've established a management process within our organization for each area of change, with an executive steering committee is how we're organized, consisting of the commissioner as the chairperson and identified senior executives to perform as the top level governing body. Additionally, included in those executive steering committees is the assistant secretary of the Treasury Department, the assistant secretary for administration of the department, our president of the National Treasury Employees Union, NTU, and many, many others that are key leaders. And we work within this executive steering committee to provide consistent direction and prompt decision-making on major issues that affect progress in any or all of the change areas.
Bob, let's talk a little bit more about the employees. You've touched on that several times throughout the discussion this evening. And you've talked a little bit about some of the things that you're doing differently with the employees to include them in this effort. But how do you feel the employees are dealing with this culture shift within the IRS, and what, if any, resistance have you seen?
You know, Jim, as you mentioned, I've kind of touched on this already, but and I believe we've really tried to issue timely communications, as I mentioned, within the organization, and be receptive to any and all incoming correspondence. The example I gave with our commissioner having an email address, believe me, employees utilize that. At least that's been our experience, and we've gotten tremendous ideas and suggestions directly from our employees that way. And we do have a very effective communications and liaison organization within our agency. We value that and make sure that we provide the right staffing and budget for communications and liaison, which really helps us provide consistent and timely outward bound communications to our employees. Going a little bit further on that, we've been thoroughly committed from the top down, and it's gone back several years now, to listening to our employees. And one of the ways we do that is that we have an annual employee survey that using a kind of a survey feedback action process. We're right in the middle right now for the year 2000, for example. We just started our 2000 survey. We will expect this year about 78. This is entirely voluntary. Somewhere close to 80,000 of our employees of the 100,000 will voluntarily take time out to do this survey, and we'll get that feedback again. And since we've done this now, this will be our fourth time for doing this kind of survey. We have a baseline experience, so we compare from one year to the next in terms of how we're doing as it relates to feedback. But let me just go back and say perhaps most importantly for our employees and most rewarding to our participants is that over 600 of our employees right now, representing all functions, all areas of the country, geographically, and all positions within the service, are participating in our whole design efforts. Now, this is our phase three of our design effort. So we've had, in phase one, we've had about 400 employees, phase two about 500 employees, and now we're in our final phase. They are linked to their peers around the country, so there's a lot of active engagement, a lot of communication has taken place. What's so important here is that so many employees have spent months away from their families and their regular work in order to contribute to the original design efforts. But we had more volunteers than what we actually could accommodate in our effort. I think that with what's happened within the Internal Revenue Service, that that our employees feel good that they have this opportunity to have the input. And I really believe it's helped through this difficult time in terms of transition and as it relates to their attitude and their feeling about their job and their role within the IRS.
Great. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.